Welcome back to the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf here, coming to you live from the Kintech studio. And you can keep your texts coming in, 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. We're going to get into some baseball talk. You probably heard it on the station earlier today. The Blue Jays shutting out the Yankees in their home opener, the Yankees home opener, 3-0 with a win in New York. That series continues over the weekend. To continue the baseball talk, let's bring in Bob Nightingale, covers Major League Baseball for USA Today. Thanks for taking the time, Bob. How are you?
Sure, doing great. Thank you.
No problem. Appreciate you taking the time. As we mentioned, bringing you in, the Jays spoiling the Yankees' home opener, 3-0 win for Toronto. Is this going to be another year of the AL East just cannibalizing each other? I mean, the Yankees and Orioles, they do feel like they're maybe a couple steps ahead of the three other teams, but none of those other teams are really going to be easy outs this year.
No, I mean, say a great division like always. I mean, obviously the National League West outside the Rockies is powerful. You know, so is the AL West outside Oakland. But yeah, the AL East is always so good. And I still think Baltimore should be the favorite. I mean, 101 games last year. You know, now they add on, Corbin Burns. So, they got a chance to be better than a year ago.
Over the offseason, at least in Vancouver and obviously across Canada as well, Jays fans looking at the offseason, they were in on all these big players and it felt like they were ready to take a big swing. It didn't happen. What did you think of the offseason for the Jays and how that sets them up for the rest of this season here?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was just okay offseason. I would have liked to see them, get a Chapman back or a Cody Bellinger or a Montgomery or Snell for that matter. And they went after Ohtani and, really worked in the Yamamoto sweepstakes. But it seemed like it was just all or nothing. A bunch of teams did that where they're all in on Yamamoto, for instance, even more than Ohtani. And then they kind of backed off after that. I think a lot of teams, maybe that's the same as the Blue Jays. It's either, go for all the gusto or lay back because there's no one close to Ohtani.
It does feel like, you kind of mentioned it, a lot of teams over the offseason were kind of all in on maybe one or two guys, and that left a lot of free agents just kind of without teams throughout the offseason. Did you notice that as well? It felt like in the month or two and right into spring training that guys who should have been signed earlier were still available and were able to be gotten for even cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of guys overplayed their hand. If you would have thought that you'd pay more money for Yamamoto than, Bellinger and Snell and Chapman, combined, nobody would have thought that. Should have signed earlier, they would have got more money. So, Yamamoto is really the one free agent that, everybody wanted. I think you had eight teams, bidding at least $275, $300 million. Realistically, only a couple teams Brandon Ohtani, but everybody won Yamamoto.
Big topic that comes up with the Jays often, especially in recent years here, is the future of Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. What do you think those two contracts could end up looking like if they were to stay north of the border?
Well, you got to think, probably $250, $300 million plus, young guys, everything else. Realistically, you think probably the Jays will get, grab one of them and not two to have to afford, two guys like that, unless you're the Dodgers. So we'll see. But I think, this winter will be big to see, who they can sign to an extension. If they get either one, I think it certainly helps the Blue Jays. When Guerrero says, I don't want to be a Yankee under any condition, take away a big team like that. I think, the team that's going to be, being big just because they've stepped away from it is the Mets. I can see the Mets being back in play for a number of the marquee free agents.
It does feel for, like, a couple of years ago, I think a lot of Jays fans would have said, hey, like, Vladdy Guerrero Jr. is the priority over Bo Bichette. And in this last year or so, it seems to have flipped. Bo Bichette had a really good year last year, and he seems like the guy that is maybe taking that next step, whereas Vladdy, we keep waiting for it, and we just haven't really seen it. So I wonder, I mean, based on name, based on potential, I'm sure he's still going to get paid, but I wonder how comfortable a team is going to be giving him a long-term contract.
Yeah, I mean, interesting. I mean, a guy like Bichette's, seems more durable. Obviously, more versatility. It's not like he's just limited to first base or DH. So you may be right. It's kind of really depends on what have you done lately. So if Vladdy has a monster season next year, it may change everybody's thinking. So a lot of it's what have you done for me lately? And it does really help a lot. That he's a young guy.
On the other side of the game today, Juan Soto, obviously the big addition for the Yankees over the offseason. He's due for a major contract after this season. Do you think he – I know the other day there was some talk, like, he's looking for a record-setting deal. Do you think that's what he ends up getting? And would it be from the Yankees?
Well, he turned on 440, so, he wants at least that, obviously. The fact he's 25 really helps, but we are, in a market like that or that, asking for that much, you only have two or three teams involved. I can't think of anybody that would really, bid that type of money outside the two New York teams. I think the Mets would be all in for sure. We'll see if the Yankees want to pay him, more than they're paying Aaron Judge, and maybe, maybe the Blue Jays, if there's an X factor, maybe it's the Blue Jays. Who wants this guy. So we'll see. I mean, he was just okay, with the San Diego Padres. Didn't really live up to the hype. Got a lot of, took a lot of walks, but, below average defensively, below average at the base runner. Started off strong in Houston, but, I think he went 1-for-12 in Arizona, and then, didn't do anything really today either for the Yankees. So we'll see. I mean, he needs to have a big year if he's going to get over 440.
It is the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf joined by Bob Nightingale of USA Today. So the biggest story in the last few days across the league has been all this Oakland Athletics stuff. And they're 1-7 on the year. They're fans, rightfully in my opinion. They're not going to games. And it feels like I can't recall a team, like, from ownership down to fans being this checked out on what's happening, not only for this season, but it feels like people are kind of checked out even when they do end up moving to Sacramento all the way up until this eventual Vegas relocation.
Yeah, and I can see why. I mean, fans are bitter and they know that. And I think it's one of the reasons they want to go to Sacramento, just to get more positive energy. I mean, they don't want to be, keep playing a stadium where people are going to be boycotting and protesting the in the stands, or, people chanting, sell the team in the middle of the game. At least Sacramento, a new fan base, they'd be excited to have a major league team, even though they, just for the short run, since they're moving to Vegas in 3 years. But I think just for the positive energy for the, for the A's, it's worth it.
It does feel like there was the comments a few months ago by the Vegas mayor saying, hey, like, maybe they want to figure out their situation in Oakland. It seemed like, hey, maybe the Vegas wasn't super into bringing on the Athletics. The Vegas mayor then since kind of walked that back. But it still feels like there isn't this big hype around this potential relocation like we usually see when a team in any sport is on the move, and maybe it's because it's still 3-4 years away. But do you think there's a way this whole situation could have been handled better by Athletics ownership?
I don't know. I mean, they tried, and it's been going on for 20 years now. Mm-hmm. I think the big problem was with the Giants staying in the way they moved San Jose. That would have been a great spot for them, but San Francisco claimed that territory. It was, kind of loaned to them by the A's and never got it back by going there. I mean, it's not like this is the first franchise. I mean, they already lost the Oakland Raiders. They lost the Warriors who moved across to San Francisco. So the city's lost a lot of sports franchises. And they tried, and they kept trying to move different spots and couldn't get anything close to being done. So finally, I think, They threw their hands up in the air. And I think Major League Baseball says, hey, we tried too. You know, better be careful in Tampa Bay. They keep talking about, well, we're going to get a new ballpark. You know, they better hurry. Their lease expires after 2027. Where the same thing could happen there.
Hey, Bob, really appreciate you taking the time and have a good one.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you.
There is Bob Nightingale of USA Today talking baseball and talking the Athletics. Elon, you and I kind of got into it yesterday, the situation in Oakland, and it is messy. It is not great. Things are bad in Oakland. And it's funny. We think about these three teams that have left Oakland. The Warriors, I mean, look, they just went to San Francisco. That's not as dramatic. But the Raiders, they left. The Athletics, they're leaving. And they're kind of all, like, different situations to an extent, too. I mean, with the Athletics, it does kind of feel like Oakland wanted to keep them there. And they were standing up to the Athletics. They weren't bending over. They weren't bending over backwards to keep them in Oakland. They weren't caving. But they still wanted to keep that team in Oakland and try to figure out a way to make it happen. The city did. And Athletics ownership just feels like a mess. And we even talked about it yesterday. Like, the prime example is this dude, John Fisher, is hyping up Aaron Judge hitting home runs in Sacramento against his team. Like, if your owner is doing that, as a fan, you're looking at this like, how can I get excited when this guy isn't like, hey, I'm looking forward to all this new talent we can bring in and spending money to bring in marquee free agents. Instead, he's just like, oh, man, these guys who get paid elsewhere are going to hit some dingers in Sacramento. That'll be sick. It's just, it's hard. It would suck to be an Oakland sports fan, I guess, is the crux of the conversation here. Is there like any worse situation you can think of than losing three major sports teams within a decade?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That sucks.
The Raiders were trash. The A's were trash. Mm-hmm. At least they had the run with the Warriors before they left.
Yeah, you got some wins before they left, but yeah, like, imagine Vancouver having three, like, hey, look, I know they have the BC Lions and the Whitecaps, but it's not at the same level of the Raiders and the Warriors and the Athletics. And if you had three major sports teams leaving within a decade, that sucks. And the other part of it is two of them went to the same city. If I was an Oaklandite, Oaklander, I would hate Las Vegas. That's for sure. Do we have anything else to get into before Guys Naming Dudes, or do we just want to go to one more thing?
Yeah, I did want to ask you, Josh. I'm not sure how many listeners are aware of this. The MLB app, this has been going on for years. I've been a constant player, unsuccessful. MLB Beat the Streak. Josh, why don't you explain the concept of Beat the Streak?
Okay, so you were the one that introduced this to basically The Office last year, because none of us knew about it here at Sportsnet 650, or at least none of us were participating in it. MLB Beat the Streak is essentially each day you pick a player on any MLB team, or you could pick two players. You could double down, try to make it two. And the goal is, you need to pick a player and do that successfully each day, different player each day, if you like, to get a hit 56 times in a row. So one day, for example, you can pick Vladimir Guerrero Jr. If you did that today, you would be unsuccessful. Your streak would go to zero. You'd try to start again tomorrow. If you picked someone else who did get a hit today, you could pick a different player tomorrow. Your streak would be at two if they both got a hit. I feel like I'm over-explaining it. It all makes sense. You're trying to get over 56 in a row. And if you do, you get $5.6 million.
Right, and it kind of seems easy, right? Oh, there's so
it
many baseball
be.
Games every day.
I'm going to pick
a Freddie Freeman, a Shohei Ohtani, a Jose Altuve, guys that seem like they get hits every game.
Mm-hmm.
Should be easy enough.
Nobody has ever won. Right? Am I wrong?
Nobody's ever gotten
Nobody has ever won. I think some people have gotten into the 50s. nobody has gotten over 56.
And this is a legit contest run by the MLB.
Yes.
So you are getting that money if you win.
Through Major League Baseball, through their app, they are giving away $5.6 million if you can do it. But I think they've been doing it for like a decade.
And every season, the leader at the end of the year still gets, I don't know, 10K, 20K.
Yeah.
So you still get something.
But yeah, it's difficult. I think only you and I have been doing it this year in the office. Victor Gaucher, if you want to join in, you can.
I have not been playing.
Okay. Well, you should.
I will.
$5.6 million.
I could use $5.6 million.
I mean, me
too. It also gets you into the games.
Yes.
If you're a casual baseball fan and then you pick two guys in the game you're watching,
mm-hmm.
and your streak is, let's say, at 8 or 9 or 10,
mm-hmm.
you're getting confident.
Out.
You're stressed. Yeah.
I know. I think last year my highest was like 13, and I felt great. This year, I think both you and I, our highest is 4. I'm at 2 right now, so we'll see how it goes today. It's difficult, though, man. It does sound easy. It's a great idea, and I feel like we've talked about, like, what would it look like in other sports? And I just don't know if there's a way to, like, translate that game to other sports. You know, like hockey, what are you going to do? Like a shot prop per day, but that's always changing. And you're not going to pick a player that scores every day, right? So it's difficult. It is difficult. But it is Friday. It is the People's Show. And that means it is time for Guys Naming Dudes. The best segment on Vancouver Sports Radio on Friday is Guys Naming Dudes. Forget Fiesta Friday. Forget Mailbag Friday. Forget, I don't know what Canucks Talk does. Dimitri joins. I guess that's fine. Yeah, forget the draft. It's Guys Naming Dudes here on The People's Show. And today's theme for you to text in, 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line, former Oakland athletes, not athletics, but also athletics, because we're doing the Warriors, Raiders, and the A's. So former Oakland athletes, guys that played in Oakland specifically, all three teams, name some dudes from those teams for Guys Naming Dudes. Who do you guys got? And come to mind?
I'm going to go 2004, Derek Fisher played for the Warriors.
Woo! Derek Fisher.
I had that one.
Uh-huh.
Nice. I'll go for another little guy, Nate Robinson.
Oh, I didn't know he did in Golden State.
He did.
So you guys are more basketball guys than me. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna be pulling Warriors names out of my butt here. But I can pull some baseball names. I can pull some football names, and specifically Vikings legend Randy Moss. Also.
Yep.
Another elite wide receiver, Jerry Rice, Amari Cooper, just throwing receivers out there.
This is pretty niche. Mid-2010s quarterback, Jason Campbell.
650-650, beast mode, Marshawn Lynch, Rich Harden, Jose Canseco, that's a good one. Also, every time I hear his name, I think of Moneyball. Jason Giambi, got to replace him in the aggregate, man.
Yeah, can't, Billy Bean.
Yeah, can't replace him as one. Don't have the budget for that.
Is that another movie I have to watch?
Oh, dude, Moneyball?
You haven't seen Moneyball?
My hot
wow.
take.
How do you work in sports?
Yeah. My hot take, I don't know if it's hot even, is that Moneyball is the best sports movie. When we talk about sports movies, like I'm not going like Mighty Ducks or anything like that. Moneyball is the best sports movie. I would watch it. It's good.
If I find the time this weekend, I'll report back on Monday.
It's I think it's on Netflix.
I'm a big Longest Yard fan.
Yeah?
Adam Sandler.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't think I've watched that in a while, but it's always like Happy Gilmore or it's Moneyball, and I lean Moneyball. 650-650. Dunbar Lumber text line. Josh Donaldson, pre-Blue Jays trade.
Marcus Semien.
Yep, him too.
Mark McGwire.
Yeah, Mark McGwire is a good one. Really, like any good player that got traded somewhere, probably played for the Oakland Athletics. Nomar Garciaparra. Oh, this one, part of the Josh Donaldson trade. Brett Laurie. Moco boy. Okay. I remember when that trade happened, being like, oh man, they traded Brett Laurie. Who's this Josh Donaldson guy? I was wrong.
I was a big Jacoby Ford fan when he was in Oakland.
Oh, Jacoby Ford.
He was fast.
Bo Jackson, Table Saw James, classic.
I'm going to say that I had to do a little digging for the Athletics because I'm not a big baseball guy.
Sure.
They've had some great names on their rosters.
Yeah.
Catfish Hunter.
That's sick, man.
Rolly Fingers.
Rolly Fingers? Don't want that to happen to me.
Goose Gossage?
Oh.
Who are these guys?
These are such baseball names.
We got to mention Jarrett Jack.
Jarrett Jack?
Legend.
This one, so I was doing, sometimes I do research for this. Not always, but sometimes. And I looked up former Athletics, and the one that sprung out of the page to me, Matt Stairs.
Oh my God, he's a Blue Jays legend.
Yeah, Blue Jays legend, Canadian. And I Googled him, and the first picture, I was like, dude, how did this guy play? If you Google Matt Stairs Jays, it's just like, dude, this guy was in unbelievable shape.
He was my favorite player in MLB 2K video game.
Really?
Could hit dingers.
Matt Stairs. It looked like all they could do was hit dingers.
Okay, Josh, I have a quick story.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is going to sound fake. I was at the New York All-Star Game MLB when I was a kid. You could research what year that was.
Okay.
2009, maybe something like that.
Was it Yankees?
They were hosting. New York was hosting.
Okay.
Anyways, I was a little kid. I didn't know what I was doing. They all come across on a red carpet in cars, waving to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the first row. I see Roy Halladay. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
I yelled. I kid you not. I yelled to Roy Halladay. He looked at me. I said, tell Matt Stairs I love him. Can you believe I said that to Roy Halladay?
Tell Matt Stairs I love him.
Yeah.
Big Matt Stairs guy.
I was a big Matt Stairs guy.
Yeah, you might be the biggest Matt Stairs fan there is. That was good. That was a good guys, name and dudes here on the People Show. Keep those texts coming in on the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber. Roy Halladay, tell Matt Stairs I love him.
He just kind of looked at me.
Appreciate everyone listening, everyone texting in. My headphones just unplugged, so I didn't hear anything, but that's okay. I appreciate everyone texting in. 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. Thank you to Elon. Thank you to Victor. Coming up next, Canucks Central, Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, Yannick Hansen, and Mailbag Friday. I've been Josh Elliott Wolf. This has been the People Show on Sportsnet 650.